Praise the Lord.
Now, some of you are thinking, Josh, again? I didn't do the scheduling. I was shocked myself that, okay,
three sermons in 2 days. All right, fine. You're going to get tired of me for sure. Yes, it's a great blessing. Michal put it perfectly. He really did. And that is exactly what we're looking for in Poland. We're looking for Michals. We're looking for men who are willing to stand up. Stand up for the truth. You know how difficult it is to find that in Poland? It is so difficult to find people who, especially men, there are a lot of women who are very faithful. You just can't build a church on women. I'm sorry, ladies. You need men. And that's our prayer. We need men. We need families. We need people to step up. And that's our prayers, and that's something we're trying to get over there. And I do pray that we find many, many more Michals. Amen. We need to get out there. We need to, that's my desire. And man, that was good. Michal, thank you very much. I appreciate that. That testimony is, although I've been there, it still hits me. It still gets me. If that doesn't affect you, if that doesn't move you, if that doesn't bring a little bit of tears, just one, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you if that doesn't just a little bit just hit that soft spot. I know we're just pretty cold and all right, well, that's fine. Oh, you know, that happens. No, man, that's what we want. Amen. We want people to get that vision, to feel that passion. Man, that's exactly what we're trying to do. Mark chapter 10. I go off on a different subject. Mark chapter 10. Being a missionary kid and being raised on a mission on the mission field, I pretty much know no other life. People ask me all the time, in Poland, where am I from? I said, I don't know anymore. I really don't know. Born in Mexico, born to American families, raised in Poland pretty much from 11 years old. I'm what you call a Heinz 57. I'm just a mixed match about everything. Anywhere I go, people say, you have a funny accent. If I'm in Poland, they say I have a funny accent. That's normal. I'm here in the States, in New York, they said, you have a funny accent. Where are you from? And I'm here in Texas. I even heard a couple of people say, yeah, you have a funny accent. You're not Texan, are you? Well, born in Mexico, but I got to Texas as fast as I could. And as being born in a missionary family, and like I've said before, I am a third generation missionary. It's always people ask, talking about what does it mean to be a missionary. You know, people have a misconception of what a missionary really is. You go to Poland and you say, I'm a missionary. They look at you real strange. Like, what do you mean by a missionary? And like here, they think you're out there doing some good thing to the public by helping them with shoes or doing something for the public as, something physical. And like John said, like he said last night, well, I just tell them I preach the gospel and they still look at me real strange. What do you mean? Which actually is a great thing. Because I have opportunity to preach the gospel to that person by explaining what the gospel is. I say, well, you don't know the gospel? Let me tell you. I'll explain to you what the gospel is. And then I have opportunity to open door. You know, they're curious. But what does it mean to be a missionary? And I was thinking, and as I was reading, I prepared this, and these things were going through my mind back when I was still in Poland. And I read in Mark chapter 10, starting verse 43. Here Jesus speaking to the disciples, but so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. A minister. You know, and a lot of times people take that word minister and they actually apply it as if it means like a pastor or a reverend. And they kind of, the minister spoke. They kind of give it the minister like this higher rank. That's not what this is saying here. That's not what it's saying. Whoso among you shall be great shall be your minister. And whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be servant. Ah. So now, minister doesn't mean pastor, reverend, some great, you know, authority place. It's being a servant. Servant. That's what it means to be a missionary. To be a servant. It's not something so high up there that no one can attain. Or only those who actually been in it or have studied it enough can be a missionary. No. All it needs is for you to be a servant. That's all it needs. Amen. And the question is, are we servants? Are we able? Are we capable? Are we human enough to understand that we are not some great, huge, high and mighty people? We are servants, dear brothers and sisters. Amen. We are servants of Christ. We serve the living God. And Jesus himself gave us an example. He gave us an example. He said, for even the Son of Man came not to minister. Even he himself, Jesus, God in the flesh, who had all right to come to earth and to be ministered unto. Who could say, I am Jesus, I am God in the flesh, you serve me. He had the right. But no, he did not. Philippians 2, turn with me real quick. Philippians 2. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus is God.
Amen.
Praise God for that. If he wasn't God, I wouldn't be here today. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. Form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Oh, isn't that hard to do? Isn't that hard to us to humble ourselves? Fall at the feet of Jesus and say, you're right, I'm wrong. You are the right way, I am not the way.
Amen.
We cannot humble ourselves. We have a problem with that. That is a problem with the gospel itself. Is that people do not like to say, I am wrong.
Amen.
It just doesn't come naturally. Just ask my wife. I don't like saying it. I say it way too often. I don't know why. She doesn't say that often. I don't know why either. But we say it and we don't like it to say I'm wrong. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I praise God for what Jesus did. For the example that he gave us, that he humbled himself and he became a servant.
Thank you, Jesus.
Do you see what it means to be a missionary? It does not mean to have a high end pedestal up there, some very high that, you know, no one can reach that. No. Each one of us, you're a Christian, you're a servant. You have the position of a minister. What does it mean to minister? To help others. To go out of your comfort zone and help others. Go out and do for others what someone has done for you.
Amen.
We forget that. Someone did for me something marvelous, gave me the gospel. Now I'm going to sit on my duff at home and do nothing. Man. It's a servant. We are out to serve, not out to be served. Man, we like to be served, don't we? And if we don't get served fast enough, we get angry. We have all the pleasures. We sit at a restaurant. And if that waitress is 1 second later longer than she should be and coming to refill our drinks, we're like, where is she? Where is that lady? Am I wrong? We don't like saying, yes, you're wrong. Not too many people say, yeah, you're wrong. No, that's exactly it. You know, we don't like to be waited on hand and foot. We don't like to serve. A missionary is nothing more than a servant. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's look at that real quick. Let's look at some other things that has to pertain to a servant. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 22. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Christ's servant. We are servants of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, we are freemen. We have the rights, and we have lots of rights. And people, more and more people want more rights. All around us. People, I have my rights. Everybody has their rights. Well, you know what? We have our rights. We have the right to serve Christ. We have the privilege to be servants of the Almighty God.
Amen.
The privilege to get out and preach the best news, what Michal just spoke about, to get out and preach the gospel to those who need it. That's our privilege. That's our right. But no, we concentrate on other things. Ephesians 6:6. Ephesians 6:6. Let's read verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as a servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Oh, now you're really touching. Now you're really hitting from the heart. Man, if we would put a little bit more heart into our preaching, a little bit more feeling into our being a servant. Not just being a servant. Oh, I have to go out and pass another tract. I have to go out and, you know, mail another letter. I have to go out and I got to talk to my neighbor again. Man, if we put a little bit more heart in it. Man, what differences it could make. Think of the differences we could make by putting a little bit more heart into what we do. We don't have enough heart. Man, we have enough heart for all other things. We go all out with every other things. But when it comes to the stuff that matters, oh, it doesn't. We just don't have the heart.
Amen.
We lack the heart. Doing the will of God from the heart. It's the will of God. We are doing the will of God, brothers and sisters. That's what it means to be a missionary, to do the will of God.
Yes.
At all times. Day in and day out. Those missionaries who have gone and come back, they haven't stopped being missionaries. They still continue the work of the Lord. Just because someone does not have that title anymore does not mean that they no longer do the will of God. If you do and you work and you preach and you teach and you do it with heart because it's the will of God and you're a servant, that's called being a missionary. It's not, in my opinion, it's not such a, you know, we put things too high. I don't like being put that high. I'm one of you. 12 years ago, I was here. I was part of this congregation. I loved it. I loved it. I miss it. I miss being here. I miss just being fed and by being, and, you know, and constantly getting messages right and left and standing up and sharing in English. Man, it's awesome. My thoughts are come so clearly. People laugh when they're supposed to laugh.
Yes.
Believe me. When people start laughing when you're not supposed to, you think, what did I just say? I look at my wife. Did I just say something? She's like this. I know, uh-oh. I shouldn't have said that, whatever it was. I just go on. Ignore it. Go on. Learn from it. Man, I love it. We are servants of the Lord. And missionary is nothing more than a servant. And you can be that servant in whatever place that is. It could be your hometown, right here. It could be another city. Or it could be another country. But we have the obligation to do something.
Amen.
Somewhere.
Amen.
As servants. Let's get that through our thick skulls that we are servants. not someone to be served, not people to be ministered unto, but to minister. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how unqualified you may think you are. There is no one who, if you are a Christian, you are qualified. If you are a believer and you are, and you have the truth, you are qualified. That's all you need. Too many people think I need more qualification. I need to get out and, you know, well then get out. Do more. If you think you lack something, go. Don't just sit home and complain, I don't have enough and I still won't do anything. You know, the most frustrating thing in Poland that I have met are the people who come up to us when we're on the streets passing our tracts and give us advice on how we should do it better. I had one guy, we passed on a track, and he comes up to me and goes, hey brother, I really appreciate it, but you know, shouldn't you kind of tone it down a little bit? Like, maybe change these phrases around and maybe, you know, make it more appealing? I said, well, why don't you do that? Why don't you go do that? Well, you know, I just, you know, right? And he gave all these explanations. I'm breaking everything apart over here, sorry. He gave all these explanations why. I said, look, until you start doing, you can't be teaching.
Yeah, that's right.
You can't be giving advice if you don't do. I would never, ever in my mind, ever give advice to my Uncle Mike about how to build a house. That's just suicide. I wouldn't do that. It was like, you know, like he knows better. And if he doesn't, well, then I'm not going to say anything. He probably knows something I still don't know. Do something. Don't just talk about it. You know, something that was impressed in my mind as a young man was all the people who had talked in the past of, when I get up to the States, well, I do this, I'm going to start doing that, and I'm start doing that. And all this talk came to nothing. And it was impressed on me to say, Josh, some advice I received said, Josh, don't talk, just do.
Amen.
Don't talk about what you want to do, just do. Don't talk about the dreams and your great visions. Just do it. We talk too much. We really do. We talk way too much. Especially us preachers. We really talk too much. But we don't do enough. And it's something that we must get through to and through our heads to do. And now let's go back to Mark chapter 10. I don't know if your Bible has what my Bible has, basically like a gap explanation of each section. I've come to find out I really don't like that anymore. Because it kind of gets your concentration and you can't really mix the points together. And I was reading chapter 10 from verse 43, and 43 down to 52, it kind of just fit with what I want to say. Because the next part from verse 46 actually is talking about Bartimaeus, who received his sight. And I was thinking, man, that sure sounds like what happened to me when I became a missionary. When I decided I wanted to go out and preach. Let's look at that. 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out to Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Poor. Having nothing. Nobody. That's who I was. Nobody. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He started calling out and crying out to Jesus before he even obviously saw him. Before he even knew he was around, he just heard that he was in the vicinity. And he started crying out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I don't know if he expected Jesus himself to hear or maybe a relay of something of sorts, but he started crying out to Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And people ask me, many people have asked me in the past, And still ask me, how did you know? How did you know when God called you? Well, I gave you the first step already. We're all called. That was the first thing already that was implanted in my mind. I was already called to do something. It just was a matter of fact, where? It was just, okay, where exactly do you want to put me, Lord? I want to do the work of a minister somewhere. Where? And that was my calling. That was my crying out to Lord. Lord, I want to do something. Just where? Just show me. Tell me. And I had the desire to be a servant, a minister, to minister unto people. I had that desire. I also believe that as every Christian, go ye all into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into the world. Who? Every single one of us. Man, your family is sometimes the world that God has called you to preach. Your neighborhood, maybe that's the world God called you to preach in. Your city, that may be your neighborhood. Maybe your city, the country that God has called you to preach. Maybe God has called you to preach in another country. Point is, every one of us has an obligation to do it somewhere. And Bartimaeus, he heard that Jesus was near and he called out to him. Notice, he didn't wait for Jesus to call him. Many people are still waiting. Okay, God, call me. I'm waiting for that visual, that boom, the fireworks. I'm waiting for some evidence of your calling. He already called you. He already did it. Bartimaeus had no idea that Jesus said, come unto me all who are labor and are heavy laden. Now I will give you rest. Man. But he just started crying out. He didn't wait for Jesus to come to him. He cried out to the Lord. Lord, Jesus, the son of David, have mercy on me. Don't wait for God to call you and tell you what he wants from you. Do you have the desire to be a minister? If so, then do it. Then you start crying out to the Lord. Okay, Lord, now that I have the desire, show me where. Show me how. Teach me. Believe me, there are people in this church who can teach you. There are teachers who have been teaching this mentality year in and year out. Brother Brian, Brother Lindell, Brother Billy. There are many more men in this congregation who have been there. They can teach you. If we'd only humble ourselves a little bit and say, I need to be taught. I'm sorry, not everybody can be teachers at one time. You know, eventually you might get there. Eventually. Let's just start doing something. Call on the Lord. Tell him your desires. Don't wait for the calling of God. You do the calling first. You call out to the Lord. If it's your desire, you do it. If it's your desire to do something, then do something. Find a ministry. Find something. There are hundreds of things you can do. If nothing else, you can be like my children who are on the streets passing out a simple tract. Say, here you go. How difficult is that? How difficult? It really takes a fraction of your time to do that. But have you seen already the evidence of what one tract can actually do? Have you, look at this evidence in the midst of you. One track. Now I'm not saying, no, every single track is going to hit the right target. Unfortunately, it doesn't. But man, if you get just one, whoa, that one just really gives you strength to keep going. Just this one. Micah was a blessing to us, just one. He stuck with us, and when, believe me, he stuck with us through difficult times. When we ourselves are like, okay, Lord, what's going on? And you know what? He's still here. He's out with us. Man, if you would just get out How many more could we reach, each and every one of us? You know, one of us, we get maybe the right one every 10, 15, maybe 20,000 maybe. But if every one of us got out there, if every one of us had a portion in that, wow, now our odds are looking a little bit better. Now we think we might be hitting some people. Don't wait for the calling of God. You do the calling. If it's your desire, do it. Let's continue on reading something that also struck me from this passage. Verse 48, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. Are the people around you, and people are always there to discourage you. Like, shh, no, don't stir up the waters. Everything's fine the way it is. Man, the missionaries are there. Great, they're surviving. Don't sin anymore. We don't know what will happen. Don't let another 10 go out of this church, because then we'll just collapse. I am afraid that's the mentality. I'm afraid that's the fear. Don't send out anymore, or I can't go because I'm the biggest giver. Or I support all of them. If I go, who's going to support them? I don't know what exactly the thoughts are, but hey, God will take care of it. He did it 40 years ago, and he was even less then. Don't let others discourage you. The devil will try his best to discourage you from doing the work of the Lord. He will do his best. He will even use people around you to think, that's a bad idea. You don't even know the language. It's cold over there. They eat cabbage all the time. Man, the people are weird. Don't go over there. It's four every summer. Sun is up at 4 o'clock in the morning. You don't want that. Winter, 3:30 in the afternoon is dark. Man, where are we living, Antarctica? You know? But believe me, you get used to it. Just look at your time. All right. Do you see what time it is? You get used to it. Don't look at the sun. It'll mess you up. Don't worry. In the winter, you don't see much sun anyway, so it's not a problem. Don't let people discourage you just because God didn't answer you the first time. Look what Bartimaeus did. But he cried the more a great deal. He had a desire to see Jesus. He wanted to do something. And he cried even more. I don't care. Tell me what you want. Say what you want. Knock me down. Push me around. I don't care. I'm going to cry out even more. I want something. Do you want it enough to cry for it even more? Where's the heart to want it even more? Where's the desire to do even more? Call even louder. Bartimaeus was told to shut up. What are you doing? Leave them alone. Leave the master alone. Look, God likes to be bothered. He likes when you come to him. He likes to hear you pray to him. He likes to hear you come to him with your burdens. Don't just let the first person just shush you around and say, no, that's not what God wants to hear. We try to teach our kids, look, pray for even the simplest things that you think are the most insignificant. God still hears even that. My son, when we were up in Oklahoma, he left his glasses at a lake, and we drove off. He didn't know where he left them. And he jumped out of the car and was running around for him, and he was praying, oh Lord, let me find my glasses. Oh Lord, let me find my glasses. Lord, let me find my glasses. He knew that I was going to be upset, obviously. I wonder who was more fear of God or me. Those were expensive glasses, by the way. So that was also the fact. But you know what? When he found them, he said, Dad, I was praying. And I found them. I prayed, I found it. Man, if we just prayed a little bit more, maybe we just find what we're looking for. Man, if we just pray a little bit more, maybe we'll find what God, what that desire has been burning in us, maybe we'll find it finally. And God will say, that's what I wanted to hear from you. Yeah, if you just cried out a little louder. He He had desire to see Jesus and to be near him. That's a good desire. That's a great desire. Let's go on. Look at the story. It's just incredible. 49, and Jesus stood still. He was moving around. He stopped. He heard. He heard that cry. He stopped. He stood still and commanded him to be called. See? He was already called. He was already. He wanted to be called, and he finally was. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. What a comfortable comfort and just a comfortable thought to be called by the Jesus, the King, Lord of Lords, and to be say, be of good comfort. Amen. You know, you may be crying out loud and loud, and you may be desiring something, but believe me, He hears your prayers. He hears prayers when they come from the heart. Not when they come from just some other emotion or some other thought. They come from the heart. Isn't that what the Bible says even about salvation? That when you are saved, when your mouth, your lips, and your heart are in unison? Yeah? It's from the heart. He calleth thee. He's calling for you. Be of good comfort. Rise, He calleth thee. Wow. Get up. He's calling for you. Go. Man, He calls each and every one of us to get up and go to Him. That place where He is, He's waiting for you to finally reach Him. He's waiting for you to finally reach Him where He wants you to be. Notice Jesus didn't come to him. This man was so blind. Jesus said, come to me. He wants you to go to him and find a place that fits, that you should be in. You need to just get up and go, like it says here. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. Part of me has wanted God to open his eyes. And Jesus opened his eyes. And he saw because he had faith. Where is our faith in what God can do? Not opening up eyes physically, but spiritual eyes. Man, that's one man. But what we can do with the gospel by spreading around, we can open up many eyes to the gospel of truth. If you just have that desire, maybe God is waiting for you to ask him to open your eyes to the needs of others. The needs of others. Not your needs. What else you need? What else do we need? What else do we need? Really, think about it. All the things we have is because I want, not because I need. I want this, and I want that. Man, what we need is to see souls saved. What we need is to see a life being changed. That's what we need. What we need is people to step up and step up for the truth and take a stand for what's right and do what you're supposed to do and not just sit and do nothing and say, I want, I want, I want. We need to do something. My question, what is your desire? What is your desire this evening? Putting it bluntly, what is your desire? My desire, it's been a desire since I was about 14. John was talking last night about, I think it was John, about moments in our lives that change a part of something in our lives that just really made a difference. When I was 14, I thought, you know what, God? I want to give my life to you. Lead me in where you want me to go. And that was the best decision of my life after salvation. When I finally realized, you know what? Living without Him is nothing. And I wanted to be where He wanted me to be. And whatever happened, I knew it was because of God. And every step of his way, and Magda and I, after 10 years of marriage, we look back. God has been there day in, day out, leading us, showing us miracle after miracle, point after point, saying, I am here to take care of you. You are not the one in control. But what is your desire tonight? I sure hope is to see souls saved. What is your desire? To be a servant for the Lord? If so, then he is calling you to preach. Amen.